Greetings from Earth, everybody. This is Christopher Moores, and I am in Paradise, California this evening, and BBS Studios. We've been doing a nice overhaul of the offices. So if you're just tuning in now, or you're tuning in soon, you noticed we are off the air for a little while. It's because we are souping things up. Keeping on with the growth process that we're all a part of. We moved the offices around, we're creating a recording studio, and we're opening up space, and it is so nice. So, we are back and back on the air. Sorry for the brief delay there. And your favorite shows of Monday will be back as usual next Monday. And all shows henceforth and evermore should be just fine. And I'm feeling fine as well this afternoon, this early evening. And I hope that you're going to stay tuned and enjoy the programming to come. And this is going to be one of the last opportunities to actually... All right. It has been an interesting afternoon as we've restructured the offices of BBS Radio, but hey, you know, there's so much good programming and good music that we just had to do it sometime, and the sooner the better. Now we're done and everything's cool. So I hope you're going to stay with us and look for your evening entertainment right here with us, BBS Radio. BBSRadio.com. That's right. Paradise, California. Working around the clock to bring you information and insight and news from all around the globe. Another thing we like to emphasize and bring to you is reminders to look outside, yet also to look inside for the truth that you seek, that we all seek. Just use the outside as a guide for exploration of your inner world. Even now, as you listen to the broadcast, even one person out there in the right kind of contemplative mood, things moving kind of slow, not much else going on, maybe today is the day that you'll decide to make meditation a priority, to recognize your own inner inclination, and to maybe take some action about it. To shake things up. You know, the longer we wait to shake things up, the harder it becomes. And then we settle into old brain grooves. Because you know what? You can repeat behavior or schedule so many times that it actually wears grooves in your brain. And then when your synapses fire, they go down those old channels. They don't even have to think. It isn't even inspired. It isn't even new. They just go right down the old brain channels. And then it becomes really tricky to open those back up again. But you can do it. And you can do it anytime. But that's where awareness comes in. That's where being able to get the distance from your thoughts through observation. If there's anything I can emphasize again and again until the last day I'm on this planet, it's to teach people how to observe what occurs in their mind and see that it is outside of their being. It is part of the confusion that we are working out in this age to realize we aren't intertwined with all those thoughts. And you know, those of you still plugged into the TV set, probably not anybody listening right now, because if you're listening right now, maybe you're seeking alternative ways. But those who allow the television set and the various images and messages to rule their thinking, Some people are even so far into that that there's no difference between what they think and who they are. And what they think is completely determined by the outside input into their brain. And then they collectively reinforce it in each other. And the roles and the role playing and the acting goes on and on. Yes, I'm happy playing this false little role and that's it. But deep inside, the heart longs for more. The soul longs for more. Every soul longs for more. No one wants to play the same role every day, to adopt one kind of an attitude and adhere it to every moment. Because the human being doesn't work that way. And let me tell you, even those in the spiritual world can forget, those who even think about meditation and spirituality, they can even forget that sometimes an expression of frustration or, you know, a spontaneous burst of energy in one direction or other, that might be just what the situation needs. You know, we have to be free-flowing, and if we have an intense expression, then we must express it. The greatest travesty that can befall upon a person's philosophy is to believe that some of what they feel needs to be suppressed or held back. It should never be the case. And you learn to allow your whims and whimsy to take flight and to not disrupt them with a check on your behavior. What would so-and-so think? What would so-and-so think? Or am I really allowed to express so freely? Something in people almost feels guilty, as if they did something wrong. But there's like a subtle layer over the psyche of society that kind of reinforces in people to hold back. That it's not okay to stand out, to be the center of attention. Everybody's trying to avoid each other and avoid everything. But that's no way to live. And the whole transcendence idea all along is an observation, as I've said many times. It's not a construct. It's more a freedom from constructs. Yet with the ability to use constructs and to create new ones for specific purposes, but one must never adhere to such belief universally, because each moment might call for something new. Each moment will call for something new. And there's the Zen saying that you can never set your foot in the same river twice. And that illustrates the point that change is very much a part of the way creation unfolds. And when we first started shaking up our mental constructs, we might feel really uneasy because there's nothing specific carrying us forward. And we don't know yet what to do. And that's where we pull our attention into the center. When we clear out the old ideas and make room for that which we really feel, truly feel, know to be the case, then we will be strong enough to make decisions in the outer world in accordance with our inner inclination. And if you're just tuning in, this is BBS Radio. Check out the website, bbsradio.com. Check out the shows. Check out the archives. They've been recently updated. So if you haven't seen yet. There's been over a month worth of archives that have recently been added, which amounts to hours and hours and hours and hours of programming from all our great hosts. So I strongly recommend tuning in, checking it out. You know, go to the archives and drop in on shows that, you know, just check maybe 5 minutes at each show. Maybe one doesn't hit for you, but maybe another one does. That's why we provide so many different shows and so many different topics. Earlier today, you heard a numerologist who is new to the network, and we're still looking to fill in every area of metaphysical awareness and information awareness so that we have all the bases covered, everything covered, so that there's no stone unturned. And you know what? If you out there, the listener, feel like there's something that we aren't covering that you feel is important, well, you let us know. You can give us a call anytime. Our toll-free number on the show right now, 877-876-5227. Or drop us an email. Send us your comments. Send us your feedback. We always like to hear what's going on and how you're enjoying the programs and what you might like to see more of so that we can continue to develop our own creative thoughts and meet the needs of the listeners and all of those out there that have something interesting to say. And this show, the Transcendence World Movement, is going to be a part of a new move that I'm going to make, which brings the Creative Cosmos radio show to 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we're going to kind of absorb the transcendence back into the creative cosmos and move forward in that direction. But what I am going to leave from the transcendence to continue to explore the ideas and the articles in this direction of thought, which is to make the Renaissance not just a fleeting idea, but to set free the whole rebirth of humanity and the divine humanity. If you look through history, you can see in little pockets here and there where people discovered their divinity, and in so doing set forth a flourish of creativity that found form in visual art and music and writing of great tales. And so now we set this free once and for all. It's not going to recede again. It's not going to disappear. Too many know. Too many are aware. Too many are opening up to the energies. There's no looking back. There's no turning back. We're all moving forward now. And when enough of us are moving forward and awakening to the energies, the momentum we are building will carry more and more people higher and higher. And that's the beauty of being alive today and being alive this moment. And this moment is all there truly is. And I'd like to make a point about how oftentimes many of the Zen masters or some of the writings you see from higher sources, they speak so literally that we don't even notice what they're talking about. Such as when we hear the blooming of the lotus, we think perhaps that it is maybe a metaphor, but in fact there truly is a lotus which blooms on the higher dimensions. And we are an extension of the flow of energy through the center of the lotus blossom, and we are a flower that opens up in accord with this. We can feel it first in ourselves, in our own process, in our own heart opening and soul unfolding. And we can also trace this back and be a part of the greater universal heart, which opens in the same manner also. We can connect to the source through this heart portal. Or another way to connect is through our breathing. One of the most important methods and most simple methods of meditation. And again, if truly becoming aware of yourself and your own potential is something you want to do, you've got to make it a priority. You can't just think about it. You can't just make empty gestures or read one book and expect that now you understand. It's an ongoing practice, an everyday practice, an every moment practice, and there's a certain state of mind that goes with that, that you let many of the more mundane aspects of life go to where they belong, into a part of your life which is less important than your well-being. Because when you consider your well-being first, then all those other matters in your life you will be able to attend to in a much, not only a much more relaxed manner, but the way in which you carry them off will be of a much higher quality, because you won't be so burdened by tensions that are a result simply from misunderstanding life itself and what is going on. You know, a few items, you know, that's why the practice of non-attachment is so important. We don't want to become attached to items or to people or to positions or to any kind of ideas we hold about ourselves. We want to allow all that to fall down. And you know, it's hard and it can be painful and it can be something that is hard to understand because it seems like so many other people play that game. But you can quit playing that game anytime you want. Take a step back and see that there is more to life than that. Much, much more. But as long as you're distracted with chasing after small items, then you are not tuning into the divine royalty that you are. See, you wouldn't even be hearing me say these words if you were not a part of this divine majesty, this kingdom, this creation. And you just being here and being a child of the divine, a son or daughter of God, you are entitled to participate fully in the joys that come from being here, from the gift of life, from the gratitude that springs forth from true understanding how precious and fleeting life truly is. I mean, really, one thing Zen does is it brings you to the perception that some find through a near-death experience or, you know, through the loss of somebody that they've loved. You know, Zen isn't all peace and love. There's a coming to terms with your own mortality, which provides the backdrop for you to live totally and to be awake, and is the counterbalance which allows you to reassimilate all of which belongs to you on your greater journey. It's the contrast which brings things into focus. Death is the contrast which brings life into focus and sets free that appreciation for the moment, for the sanctity of each moment, and the preciousness of awareness. You can simply hear, if you understand this and you're hearing my voice right now, you can simply stop right now, forget everything else, and just breathe. See, that's the beauty of a meditative breath, is it's a breath in awareness. It's a breath in understanding, because breath is life. And this is how we can go deeper and deeper into the breath as a means for transformation and awakening. Because the breath is a mystical doorway. It isn't simply, yes, I'm following my breath. Okay, this is kind of boring. Well, what next? Well, if you meditate that way, which many would if you sat down and said, follow your breath, you know, sometimes some people you might do that to suggest that as a possibility. First thing you're going to do maybe is chuckle, like, huh, that doesn't seem that important. That's kind of funny. That's kind of weird. That's kind of strange. But as one teaching meditation or bringing meditation, you can only expect that, well, it's new. It's a little different. They haven't seen it before. You got to keep exposing them to it. And encouraging them to try and try again and try again. And the first time you try to meditate and you sit down and you try to follow your breath or something of the sort, you may not know what to do. And that's fine. Because it's a totally different kind of a knack. It isn't like active thinking. It's the absence of thinking. It's being. Just being present. Being there. You don't have to do anything. In fact, that is the point, is that there is nothing to do. And that is when we can rest in ourselves and accumulate the universal energies. If you're working yourself to death out there, and you're finding yourself tired all the time, or you're finding yourself just kind of down or depressed, or losing faith, or struggling, let me ask you, have you given yourself the space and the time every day to just sit and recover your energies? Just to sit silently, unoccupied? Because even if you're watching TV, you're occupied. You're being drained of energy. You're being drained of attention. You're being infiltrated with all kinds of messages. You know, even if you're... You know, people do so many things to occupy themselves. They wiggle their leg, or they, do some kind of a repetitive task.
What is it?
But everybody needs that chance to be unoccupied, to allow your mind to be free of any stimulation, to just rest. And then you can shift the focus of your attention to other areas of your being. Because we aren't just the mind. We are also the heart. And this is the threshold from the mind to the heart that the transcendence is designed to lift people through, to get people through. Because I truly believe that the majority of society itself is on that cusp from mind to heart. And it isn't that we have to leave our discerning abilities behind in this transformation and lose ourselves to something that seems odd to us. In fact, the true opening of the heart adds richness to our mind and illuminates that which we are capable of conceiving, as well as makes us open and available to energies that are coming in from higher sources. Because through the mind we can't allow these higher sources in. It's through the heart that we can receive these inner inclinations and awaken the more subtle capabilities which we have that go beyond the physical body. You see, we have our five senses, but then in our etheric body we have yet more senses. We have an inner knowing or an intuition, just a feeling about things. And we can learn to use this in accordance with our regular senses. We can first rely on that first impression. You know, how many of you out there have a feeling right in the moment of entering a situation? But then we might begin the process of rationalizing it away. Well, I have to do this because of this circumstance, or due to this or that or the other thing, there's no way I can address those feelings. But somebody who truly is aware of their divine state of humanity and honors themselves in that way and loves themselves, and which then makes them capable of loving others, they don't have the luxury to rationalize things away. They have to stand up for their love. They have to stand up for their truth, and they have to take the moment on and speak what they feel. And you know what? If the circumstance falls away when you do that, if you get into trouble, so to speak, or kind of dark things happen, well, that's good. That tells you that that place is not the right place for you, that that place doesn't fit. And so now you know. So if you speak the truth of your heart and your outer circumstance gets disrupted, good. Find another outer circumstance. Keep moving. Keep evolving. As I've said many times, too often we feel like there is a stopping point, like there is an acceptable stopping point. Like, well, I've learned enough, now I've arrived, and now I can just do this all the time. But nobody's going to be happy doing that, because life doesn't stop, and the heart doesn't stop, soul doesn't stop. And even a mind which seeks knowledge or wisdom would never stop. You're listening to Transcendence World Movement, a presentation of The Creative Cosmos, the show of Christopher Moores. And of course, we have websites that we update frequently. So check out creativecosmos.org, creativecosmos.org. And also, there is a Transcendence World Movement Forum, and if you'd like to post on that, I'd love to have you do it. TranscendenceWorldMovement.com. And again, a reminder that the Transcendence is going to unify back up with the Creative Cosmos radio show, and we are moving in July to the earlier time of 3 o'clock Pacific on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I have my good friend John Newsom here, and he wants to say hello.
Hello.
And he's been helping us move things around and getting the studio set up, and I've been getting to know John. He's a cool kid. And what are you up to today, John?
Nothing.
No? Well, I saw you doing all kinds of things, going around outside. You were helping us unload the truck or keeping us company or things like that. A lot of fun on a summer day in paradise, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And hey, do you have any questions to ask me that you think that the people listening on air might like to hear?
No.
No? Well, that's cool. That's you're just hearing the radio debut of John Newsom. Of course, you've heard Don Newsom on the Don Owens show, and you've heard Douglas Newsom. And hey, something about Douglas Newsom—he's revamping his show. It's going to be a hot news show, a real hot news show. You got to check it out. It's called High Q, and I think it's going to be insane. Sharp, edgy, wisdom, intellect, and the will to make it happen in your life. Check it out. He's going to have a lot of fun with that High Q with Douglas Newsom. So, yes, indeed, the Transcendence World Movement is going away for a while, just simply to the realm of the internet forum. But that's where I want the idea to live and hang out for a while. That seems the best place for it. And if you're out there listening, I appreciate it. You're listening to Christopher Moores, and we've been exploring some of the ways to transcend our limitations. And really, as I've said a little bit earlier in the show, I'm going to repeat again, that one of the best methods for transcending your limitations is to be observant, to be aware of phenomenon that occur as being outside yourself. Because if there's a thought, now how many of you have had a thought like, oh, I can't believe that person did that to me, that then engages a real active energy, which then causes you to go, hey, man, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And then maybe later on, you were thinking, wow, maybe that created some chaos for you. But you know what? When your mind first starts right away, it starts telling you that you have a right to get over jumping it on, but instead you catch it and you get some space from it and you realize that for some reason somebody triggered something in you, and whatever they triggered in you, now if somebody else can trigger something in you, that means you don't have full control of yourself. And so if you really care about self-mastery, truly knowing thyself and being aware of what you do and controlling your own destiny, creating your own future, you can't let others provoke response in you. And anytime somebody does, even if it's at you, something you really don't want to hear, probably especially if it's something you don't want to hear, you can take that as a learning point, as a lesson point, as a point to reflect and meditate upon, as a point that there must be a reason that somebody can still get to you in that way. And there's a story of Buddha along those lines. And Buddha had, I believe it was his brother Ananda, or Ananda was close relation, like a brother, always by his side, attending to Buddha. And that was many of the Buddha stories about Buddha. And you can read some of these stories by such wonderful authors and mystics as Thich Nhat Hanh or Osho or Yogananda or Barry Long. They breathe life into the story of Buddha from the perspective of a Buddha. And there was a story about Buddha where he and Ananda were sitting one day, and a man came, and when he finally reached the point of where he's before the Buddha, he spit in the Buddha's face. And Ananda just finally, even though he was trying to practice his meditation and practice his inner peace, he freaked out. He couldn't take it. How could you spit in the face of the Buddha? He went nuts. Buddha said, no, it's okay. It's okay. That this person gave me a chance to see if I could still be upset. And you know, I found in myself that I wasn't upset. And further, the very fact that this person would come and do that means that I had some long strand of karma that had yet to come full circle. And in so doing, in spitting in my face, he allowed one last cycle to become complete, and in so doing, I thank him, and I bless him, and I have nothing but gratitude for him spitting in my face. And then, the next day, all night long, the person just spit in the Buddha's face, just couldn't stand it. They couldn't believe they had done such a thing to such a man. They got so upset they couldn't sleep, and first thing in the morning ran back to Buddha, lay down before his beaten feet and said, Buddha, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I spit in your face. And Buddha said, it's no matter. You're not the same man today that you were yesterday. Yesterday, the man who came before me was arrogant and selfish, and now today you are humble and as forgiveness, but there is no matter of forgiveness because I have not judged. I am not disturbed. And this man then became a disciple of Buddha, stayed with Buddha, and became a meditator. Sooner or later, we all become meditators. Because this is where the healing we seek lies, in learning to reflect upon ourselves and find our true natures. Sometimes people become aware that they need the meditation through their intellect. Or maybe, as I said earlier, some crisis point comes And now, in the information age, I think there's yet another factor. That things are speeding up to such a point of where there's an urgency like never before for those of us who hear the inner call and who understand these things to speak out and to share this information on a wider and wider scale. Because this is the method that will bring healing to the earth. The ways and means for individuals to heal themselves, to find themselves. Because there is no collective solution. One heart at a time, we become awakened. And those awakened hearts then bring creative solutions to the world's situations. And together, they create a synergy that operates on a whole other plane of existence. A plane of where we know that we are one in the same, in life, in love, and we shine the light out to all of our fellow humanity. Those of us who understand this, there's nothing to say when we see one another, because all is said in that silent knowing. Because being in that state, you are of service to the truth that comes through you and not in service of the selfish motivation. So I'm going to close the show today, the Transcendence Show. And I believe we will do one more Transcendence World Movement Show next Friday before we move to our new time. And reunite with the Creative Cosmos radio show. And as I said, the idea will live on in the forum that I encourage you to visit and become a part of, transcendenceworldmovement.com. So let's take a moment right now to get that space, to slow down. Maybe the radio is on in the background. Maybe you're paying attention. Either way, if it's on, some part of you hears my voice, hears the sound of my voice, and simply let my voice be a trigger for you to come to attentiveness within your own body. Come back to yourself for a moment. You may be scattered, you may be doing this, you may be doing that, you may be thinking about this, you may be thinking about that, but just for this moment, rest. In yourself, aware of yourself, aware of your connection to life, and that you are part of something so vast, so grand, and so beautiful that truly every breath and every waking moment is a miracle. Thank you for joining me, and I'd like to play a tune or two to round things off tonight. So we're going to start with a song called, give me one moment, now that I'm in the BBS radio studios, I can run the board myself, and moving with the flow of the moment, and what we've been talking about tonight, I think we will play the tune, Ways to Go. It's a cool Transcendence tune. Have a great time, everybody.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.